With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's Christmas!
Ho, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third installment of the 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. It's episode three.
Un, deux, trois.
We're getting in deep.
Ho, ho, ho.
We're going so deep we can pull out a coin.
Yeah.
What?
Hang on, what happened there?
Me and Jim have done a bit of Die Hard.
Yeah, just quoting
cutting in.
Sorry.
Ruining it.
I didn't realise ho, ho, ho was going to go.
Jim, let's do it again. Ho, ho, ho.
Now I have a machine gun.
Oh. That's nice.
Ha, ha, ha. Sorry, Marcus, carry on.
Not at all. Yeah. Right, what we're going to talk about today. Well, we've seen many and heard of many changes that football has gone through over the many years it's been around. Footballers themselves are not the same they used to be decades ago. And the way we consume football has changed as well, especially in the last 5 or 10 years, I would say. One of the big reasons for this, of course, is the internet and social media. And footballers and social media don't mix that well. All the time. The results are not only frequently hilarious, but sometimes even illegal.
Yeah.
Today, we are considering the online footballer.
Yes.
So it's been, what did we have first? The Maverick,
the
bust up, and now the online footballer.
Yes.
Do you think, here's a question for you guys to start with.
Oi, oi.
Do you think that if football clubs could have foreseen how social media would have evolved, they would have made a decision to say, if you're going to be a footballer at this club, you can't go on social media?
I think they tried to do that at the start, but then, you know, people like Mendy, they just extend their brand, don't they?
I mean,
being great.
I don't think Mendy's a problem, though.
No, but the thing is, I mean, actually, Mendy's a huge asset to Man City.
Yeah.
Because you can see that they in particular have made this real concerted effort to be really good on social media, because the Premier League in particular is such a big thing now that there is this sort of online battleground to try and attract fans from other countries,
yes,
where you know it's necessarily based on your region. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think they would have approached it differently. I don't think they would have banned players from using it though.
It's as football has kind of moved away from the, you know, lads on the park kind of aesthetic, where we could not be further away from a footballer now. They're so kind of so when we hear about them playing Fortnite, or we, you know, see a video from Man City, for example, I remember Carlos Tevez and Mario Balotelli doing like rapping presents and stuff. We see these videos and we see a glimpse of I think it was Balotelli wrapping a present. I think Carlos Tevez says, this is why people think you're stupid, Mario, because you can't wrap a present.
Right.
And it's like this beautiful glimpse that we get from that we get from these footballers that we wouldn't usually get.
Because you say that, you're absolutely right. We're so far removed from, say, footballers on one hand. But on another hand, we have more insight to them.
Yeah.
Because we have more videos. We have more these things that you're saying, behind the scenes kind of stuff, which you wouldn't have years ago. But yet, years ago, your footballer might walk into your local pub and have a drink and have a chat with
you. Exactly.
And access to footballers and their personalities is obviously fascinating. And social media enables that. But it's easy to forget that when football was massive, sort of post-Premier League inception, but before internet and social media. So 92, 93 to say 2007-ish, there was really no access to footballers at all. I mean, you'd probably get, I mean, I suppose around that time, you might, towards the end of that period, you would have got camera phones and you would have seen your mate who he bumped into a player or whatever. But beyond that, I mean, there was nothing at all.
Yeah,
now, although we do get a very, most of the time, managed, presented version of footballers, because I would say even that Tevez Balotelli thing, possibly not because of the two players involved, but by and large, that's probably going to be signed off by someone.
I think the,
so we're not actually seeing, so what I'm saying is we're not actually seeing them,
it's
as
coiffured, isn't it?
It's curated essentially. But I mean, and I can't really think of any players that are unfiltered to through social media to the public, but that's probably just because too many players by now have got their cocks out and or done something stupid, and that's and it's ruined it for everyone else, I guess.
I do think that social media in its current state in 2018 it'll only get tidier, because there are some kind of outliers, like we've talked about Patrice Evra in previous things, him slapping the chicken, and
he's retired now, really.
Yeah, but he's always been quite outspoken, and he's always been a bit mad on social media.
Yeah.
People like Sol Campbell, the new boss of Miles.
Yeah, that's different, though, isn't it?
But you get like a glimpse of their kind of psyche, just simply because they can't hide that. You can't PR Sol Campbell's mad soliloquies. You can't PR Patrice Evra getting salmonella. You can't tidy that up.
I still slightly disagree, because both those players are in a position now where they're probably not going to have club-related liaisons, because most of Sol Campbell's stuff, well, in fact, all of it's going to have been done after he retired, before he took that job. And Patrice Evra really, I know he's a bit of a renegade, but he's always been, I mean, he's been semi-retired for a couple of years, really.
But I would say it's only going to get tidier. I mean, players that are in, I'm trying to think of a current player who is quite mad on social media. Hatton Ben Arfa, I mentioned the previous one. But yeah, Mendy. Yeah. Mendy's a good one. He's just unfiltered, he's fun-loving, and we just get a little bit more of that player. And that's how players become cult heroes, when they can't get on the pitch for whatever reason.
But it is interesting. Going all the way back to Luke's point about what would clubs do. I mean, Mendy's brilliant on social media, and you know, posted all sorts of photos when he was out with a long term injury. But Mendy's that type of character. It was one of the big reasons why they signed him. Yes, for his ability and so on. But he lifts the dressing room.
Yeah.
He's very crucial to the kind of community feel at the club, even just within the team. So you can almost trust him because he's not a nutter. You know, in a negative kind of way. So off you go on social media, you'll further the club's reach globally and all that kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah.
The problem is when someone comes along as a teammate of his, he's a complete dickhead.
Exactly.
Says, why can't I do it as well?
Well, what do you do? So you, because clubs may well have done back in the day, said, right, if you want to join our club, you know, you can't have a Twitter account. That's written in your contract. But of course, players with millions of followers, the account is managed by Nike or Adidas or something like that. You can't do it. It's too tangled. So you've just sort of got to hope for the best in one sense. But it's right. You might have to employ in the future one rule for that player, because he can be trusted.
Does that not infringe on their human rights, just on a very fundamental level? It'll be in your contract but
I wonder in 5 years, 10 years, or something like that, what the state of play will be. I mean, we know that Victor Anichebe doesn't tweet often from his own account. When he tweeted from his account, can you tweet something like unbelievable support yesterday and great effort by the lads?
This is Daily Blind.
Someone has copy and pasted that and not thought about it.
After it, Daily Blind fell afoul of that as well. So that's obviously a very common thing. But it's changed a lot, even in the short time, relatively speaking, that we've been doing the podcast. And I think a good example of how this used to be before social media was so prevalent was, do you remember Moritz Vols' website?
Oh, yeah, Vols.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so Moritz Vols, the former Fulham and Arsenal defender, he just had a website just about what he liked.
Yeah.
And because he was very popular amongst the Fulham fans, because he used to ride his fold-up bike to home games.
That's
didn't he?
Right.
He was very sort of environmental.
He used to go around with charity buckets and try and for good causes and all that.
He did. Nice. And his website, I think it had a little song. It was "I'm a German in West London" that played as you read it. And he spoke about how he liked to bake a cake before.
This is very MySpace era.
It was very MySpace.
Any animated GIFs?
Dancing MC Hammers with the baggy trousers.
With
his head on, obviously.
Sometimes social media and footballers don't mix to the point where we see one of the greatest players of all time reduced to a laughing stock by tweeting something like, "Thank you all for participating in the CR7 boys' underwear competition."
Oh no!
It's been a real pleasure to see all of your photos.
Oh no!
Which is something that Cristiano Ronaldo literally tweeted on his own official account.
Absolutely.
Wow!
Well, Phil Neville had a classic as well, didn't he? I mean, what he meant to tweet, this is just when he became sort of assistant manager at Valencia. What he meant to tweet in Spanish was, "Morning, early morning run on the beach to start the day. But what he actually tweeted in Spanish was ejaculation on the beach to start the morning.
Either or.
Oh, fizzer.
Either way, it's gonna de-stress you, isn't it?
That's how we got the name Fizzer.
But, yeah.
just don't get it on a crab.
That. Yeah. Creepiest thing about that is you're going to hear it in a whisper, aren't you?
Yeah.
Try that again in a whisper.
Like he's doing it from a wardrobe. What about
on the beach to start the morning?
No one could.
That was a nice joke about the crab, Peter. By the way,
no one could forget Joey and Lescott.
Oh,
that was amazing.
I'm not one for tweeting after games, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I would like to apologise for the performance today, personally and collectively. Liverpool are and were better than us today, but that doesn't excuse mine and the team's lack of commitment for the 90 minutes. Again, apologies to the fans. I would like to add that the tweet sent out from my account involving the picture of a car was totally accidental and happened while I was driving and my phone was in my pocket.
I'm sorry, but how has his arse managed to
Google something?
Yeah.
My mate's mum always rings me with her phone.
Tell us more.
I just hear this like noising. And I know it's always Alex's mum. It's very strange.
There's another favourite of mine, just quickly before we nip off for a break, is Romelu Lukaku back in 2013.
Right.
He tweeted, just had some kids doing trick or treat at my door. It's the first time it's ever happened in my life. And FIFA got involved and replied saying, what did you do? And he replied, just gave him some Kit Kats.
What a bizarre exchange.
Is that, I promise you.
What did you do? FIFA asking that.
Like, yeah, FIFA said, what did you do? And he said, yeah. I gave him some Kit Kats.
All right.
Right, okay.
It's nice.
Maybe you, FIFA had
you
read
expect
the...
You expected something dirty, Dawson,
no, maybe FIFA had read the Cristiano Ronaldo post and feared for the worst.
Yeah, here we go, yeah.
Let's see. Did they vote for Qatar for the World Cup? All right, more chat about online footballers after this.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In German, it's tatsächlich Liebe, love actually. But the Santa Claus killed it because he used it on the stairs. Turkey.
Welcome back to the 12 Rambles of Christmas.
Yeah, it's just baffling, isn't
everybody.
It?
Everybody.
Yeah. Just Jürgen Klopp mentioning things about Christmas.
I bet he loves Christmas, Jürgen Klopp.
Oh, I bet.
If it's one, I'll tell you what
he
it is.
He dresses
one
up as Santa Claus as well.
I was going to say, we can divert very, very quickly. I would say that Jürgen Klopp is the most likely current Premier League manager to dress up as Santa for his kids.
Yeah.
And Nuno
just
Santa.
Tear down the stairs in the morning.
Nuno Santa.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyone other takers? Mourinho's not doing it.
No. I reckon.
You cannot dress up as Santa and wander around your hotel.
I reckon for grandson and granddaughter, Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He
yeah.
would do it.
Manuel
definitely.
Pellegrini would look good as centre.
But would he do it?
Which time?
I think he would.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you know what? I'll tell you who else
Santa
would do
Claus
it.
That got me on 25th of December.
Do you know who else would do it?
Go on.
David Wagner. Because Klopp's
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
They call me Father Wanker.
Some players are pretty good on social media, though. I'm thinking Peter Crouch.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. That's because he's obviously a quite an
intelligent, charismatic man.
I love that photo of
his podcast. Shit.
Oh right.
No, he's not.
I love that photo of
Peter
him
Crouch.
Feeding the giraffes on holiday.
Yeah.
And the caption said, "Summer for me is about spending time with my family." That's great.
That's brilliant. So you must be a particularly sort of enthusiastic consumer of footballers
if
online.
If Pete was a footballer in this age, he'd be.
Fired.
In all sorts of trouble.
His reputation fired. Would be bigger than his actual reputation as a player, yeah. I think, by now.
Yeah. Well, Emmanuel Frimpong.
Yeah.
Frimpong.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about players like sort of instructing like a team to sort of do something. Raheem Sterling did that back in the day in 2016. Instagrammed this for me, saying off to Sweden for our friend against Arsenal. That's quite nice.
It's so funny when that happened.
Yeah. Remember when Rooney went on Twitter and tried to fight himself?
What? I don't.
8th of May 2011, he just replied to himself at Wayne Rooney, "I'll put you asleep within 10 seconds, you little girl. Don't say stuff and not follow up on it. I'll be waiting."
Wow.
You're waiting for some time.
I was going to say, he's
unless
just
you come across
more,
a mirror.
He's going to get more wound up, isn't he?
Yeah. This does sort of count because he used to be a professional footballer as well. Curtis Woodhouse,
right.
Really highly rated young player. Yeah. I think moved from Sheffield United to Birmingham, didn't work out for him, changed and became a boxer. And we interviewed him for a Ramble Meet, so I met him, lovely chap, but clearly, like, very obviously hard,
yeah.
right? He was a footballer, he's now a boxer, he's hard,
yeah.
right? And he was getting stick from someone on Twitter who's repeatedly calling him a pussy, all this stuff that stupid people say on Twitter, while he was a boxer.
Mm.
And Curtis Woodhouse got very fed up about it and ended up essentially going to the man's house. taking a photo of the outside of his house.
Oh no.
Saying, what time did you finish work or whatever?
Oh man.
Sat in his Range Rover.
So funny.
Nothing happened, nothing physical happened, but it was almost like a bit of a lesson to like an online troll.
Yeah.
But on the Wayne Rooney thing, a more innocent, but I would argue equally as funny version of the Wayne Rooney thing is Dean Windass. How you doing, mate? You okay? Replies to himself, "Yeah, I'm fine, thanks."
That's the thing, though, as well. What I love about that, right?
I want to say Andy Gorham.
Best thing about it, Jim, can I just say, it was only 24 minutes later.
Yeah.
Just looked like it was months ago and he forgot.
But another great example of that is Rob Earnshaw recently was tweeting about...
Rob Earnshaw.
He said something along the lines of, is it not more likely that the first sort of alien interaction with our planet would not be the aliens themselves, but their technology? Now, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to just sort of...
A little bit sixth form, kind of.
But the context of that person also being a footballer just immediately makes it funny.
Yeah, it does. Because you just don't expect, rightly or wrongly, and probably wrongly, even on this show, when we talk about football all the time, we pigeonhole footballers into being certain types of people.
Yeah.
And much the same as when we talked about the Mavericks in episode one of this series, it's out of the ordinary when they become different, when they're not like that. I mean, well, one of the players we could have talked about on the Mavericks thing is Matthew Flamini, who's got this idea of running this business which does environmentally friendly...
That's biofuels,
yeah,
isn't it?
Biofuels. Yeah, biofuels.
It's an acid, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, we don't think of players having those kind of interests.
Mm.
So it is interesting to get an insight because, I mean, sadly, old enough to remember very clearly the idea that a football player like, I don't know, back in the 90s or whatever, Steve McManaman, going to buy a pint of milk just seems like, what?
Yeah.
They're like aliens from another planet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Footballers, how can they do that? It'd be the same as thinking about David Bowie going to get a pint of milk. Yet now, every 5 minutes, some of them are posting videos of them singing along with their kids in their car to songs and stuff. So it's very different.
It is very different. And we talked about bust-ups last time. Well, people can have a few bust-ups on Twitter, as we say, and people can have the last word. And I'm thinking Chico Flores, Big Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Because you remember when Big Sam lost the England job? Chico Flores just...
tweeted.
There was a lot of emojis with sunglasses, all that kind of stuff. After Big Sam, of course, laughed at him. And I thought Big Sam was fair when he laughed at Flores for diving and so on. But, you know, I'm not picking sides.
Another great sort of insight into exactly what when a person is completely how you imagine him to be, mm-hmm. is the great Glenn Hoddle. Of course, you know, we wish a full and speedy recovery, still recovering from his heart attack. Mm. He signs off every tweet with the sunglasses emoji.
Does he still do that?
Yeah.
Nice.
Every tweet.
DG. Nice.
You can imagine him do that. It's like, DG!
Oh, DG!
How has it taken 16 minutes for DG to come out? David Gold once, actually, now you've mentioned it, DG. He once tweeted, welcome to the club, Pedro Obiang, great signing. Tweeted a picture of Angelo Ogbonna.
Oh, so, don't like to see that.
No.
DG's son, who runs the ladies' team, the women's team, there's some wonderful David Brent.
Grandson?
Oh, maybe his grandson, He's way too good for that. but he's went, I'm not going to wear some clothes, I want to get a job. And the video about him talking about the football team that he manages is hilarious. Well, he's the chairman of.
North or south of Brendan Rodgers?
Oh, it's north. Definitely north.
What would Brendan do on social media? I'm thinking Facebook motivational quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Like kind of like a scene of a. Like a beach,
yeah,
with
definitely
some
beach.
Inspirational quotes.
Yeah, beach scenes with inspirational quotes that make absolutely no sense when you're imagine for even a moment.
I can imagine him doing, after a defeat, getting on Facebook, doing, it's not about avoiding the storms, it's about learning how to dance in the rain.
Yeah. And every tweet ending with, okay.
Hashtag okay.
So I think something we've maybe overlooked here a bit is you don't really see them so much now as social media becomes so prevalent and things are almost built into this, but footballers' websites. Mm. Like Andre Arshavin was a notable example.
Do players still have individual websites now?
I think the big guys do, but I think they most of them just kind of make do with Twitter and Facebook.
I think it was one of those things where it felt like, you know, felt like they should have them, but now it's maybe not so prevalent. But Andre Arshavin's had a Q&A thing that he used to actually maintain as well. And a couple of highlights I've got here is a question. Do you use hair gel? If you do, what type do you use? What's your favourite hairstyle? And he answers, I don't have an ad contract with any hair gel producer. I use water before the game. A lot depends on water chemical composition. The idea of him spending his free time doing this is amazing to me.
He's been talking to Fleming.
Yeah, absolutely. A classic as well. Question. Andre, are you frightened of bears? Andre, on the contrary, I like bears.
Oh, nice.
Three words for you, chaps. Andy Carroll's Bebo.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Oh, Dele Alli's MySpace as well.
Oh, is there?
Him looking like a little thin, very thin child.
Well, Dele Alli's very prevalent on social media. I mean, he starts trends where he's
the finger thing.
Yeah,
he's
sort of hand up to his face, which confuses most of the public over a certain age, best which ever, I include myself in, sadly.
And me. Best ever use of a hashtag by a footballer's got to be Grant Holt when requesting a transfer from, I think, Norwich. Hashtag loved my time.
Yeah. If we're getting to strikers, chat shit get banged.
Yes, that's Facebook. Yeah. You don't see as much on Facebook.
Well, Berbatov used to have a Facebook fan page and he used to post pictures he'd drawn. Remember, he's quite a good artist.
Right.
And he used to draw some self-portraits.
Which footballer was it who tweeted or maybe put on Facebook, which was a ramble trope for a bit, that's what football do, dear.
Yeah, that
oh,
was,
yeah.
I can't remember.
Something.
Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
I think an honourable mention as well has to go to Darius Vassell's sad blog.
Oh, about his move to
Ankara Gucu. I believe in Turkey, and he was greeted like a hero, wasn't he?
He was,
and
yes.
Then he just started blogging about how he was lonely and they weren't paying.
I love that on this show, this episode, me, Pete, and Marcus have been all about the Twitter, the social media. Jim's just been websites, blogs.
There's a history to this, and it's new.
Yeah,
you know, I want to make sure this stuff doesn't get forgotten.
No, but that's important, Jim, because we've sort of gone from footballers had no presence online, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and now they're tweeting and they've got millions of followers. No,
and it's not just come from nowhere.
No, exactly. There was a huge period in between, as you say, with the websites and this, that.
I've seen certain beloved national treasures, I'm not going to mention them here, on Twitter, clicking like on certain pornographic pictures on Twitter. Always go down a footballer's like, see what they're up to.
Why are you looking at me?
What?
All right.
National treasure.
Can I? True, I never will be. Can I
national trust site.
Wrap this up by saying that if
like Blackheath with all those plague pits.
All right.
Like a Blackheath plague pit, that lad.
Carry on, Luke.
Drink the water.
I was just going to say, if Brendan Rodgers had a MySpace, the song on his MySpace would probably be You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
Surely, if you don't know, be mine now.
Yeah.
That'll be it. I just like to end by saying, I had spaghetti and it was very nice. I enjoyed it. That was Victor
Wanyama. Yeah, yes. Wanyama is very good.
Yes. Yeah.
Love that. Love that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of our 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow to discuss another fabulous topic from football.
Do season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.